The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow will look like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art. Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came, into logbook.com's escape pod.
Escape pod ready.
The logbook.com's escape pod is charting a course through geek history. I'm Earl Green, and it's time for another look at the factual, the far out, and the foundations of the future. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1979, NASA aerospace contractor Rockwell International began turning a testing airframe into a real space shuttle, a process that was deemed more cost-effective than refitting the space shuttle Enterprise for spaceflight. This space shuttle orbiter would be known as the Shuttle Challenger. But in 1986, Challenger's story ended on another of the American space program's darkest days.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1. And liftoff. Liftoff of the 25th space shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.
Pieces of ice tumble off as the coldest space shuttle launch ever gets underway. Challenger seems to shake herself free of the ice and goes. All five rocket engines burning well. The first teacher, Krista McAuliffe, on her way to space with six other astronauts on board.
We'll be hearing shortly from John Lawrence in Houston.
Up into a beautiful blue sky, crystal clear weather here in Florida, although it's very cold. Everything going well.
Velocity 2,257 feet per second. Altitude 4.3 nautical miles, downrange distance 3 nautical miles.
And across from me, hundreds of school kids jumping up and down and cheering as this space shuttle takes off with teacher Krista McAuliffe on board.
Go and throttle up.
And that means the engines are running well. 2.5 minutes into the flight, the solid rocket boosters will drop away, and we should be able to see it.
What's happened? What happened?
Downrange distance 7 nautical miles.
Still going. Vic, did something strange happen then?
Something is gone amiss.
Something is wrong. We have a problem.
Nothing from mission control, but I could see pieces of something falling off the side as if one of the solid rocket boosters had come away early, Bob.
It's still climbing. The shuttle is still climbing, but there is a problem. There appears to be a serious problem. What's happening?
Not a word from mission control. Everybody here is open-mouthed.
Controllers here looking very carefully at the situation.
Where is the shuttle, Vic? Can you see it?
A major malfunction.
Now, direct from CBS News, this radio net alert bulletin.
This is Christopher Glenn at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. There is a major problem which developed just a few seconds into the flight. We could see it happen. There seemed to be some kind of an explosion aboard the rocket. And all of a sudden, all communication with the spacecraft was lost. Obviously, it is going nowhere at this point. It looks as if debris is falling out of the sky. It almost appeared as if one of the solid rocket boosters or one of the spacecraft main engines went awry and something happened.
Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
Oh, a great tragedy here.
73 seconds after liftoff, a highly publicized launch which included the first civilian teacher in space exploded high over the Atlantic Ocean.
The Space Shuttle Challenger exploded after liftoff today, apparently killing all seven crew members, including the first civilian to be launched into space, Krista McAuliffe. There is no announcement of the fate of the crew, but it appears that there could be no way they would survive. The spacecraft appears to be destroyed, the debris being scattered into the Atlantic Ocean. There is no clue right now as to what might have caused the explosion. There was no indication of any problems on the computers in mission control. No one had any indication that anything was wrong. It was the first in-the-air disaster in 56 U.S. man-in-space missions, although three astronauts were killed in a 1967 launch pad explosion. That was during the Apollo program. Again, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded into a gigantic fireball moments after liftoff today.
The explosion was caused by the failure of a rubber O-ring in one of the solid rocket boosters meant to help Challenger reach orbit. Subjected to sub-zero temperatures, the ring was brittle enough to allow the rocket thrust to escape through a narrow gap that aimed it at the shuttle's huge external fuel tank and igniting its entire load of rocket fuel at once. Challenger's entire crew was lost along with their vehicle. Commander Francis Dick Scobie, pilot Mike Smith, mission specialist Judy Resnick, Ellison Onizuka, and Ron McNair, and payload specialists Greg Jarvis and Krista McAuliffe. This would be the last attempt to launch an American space shuttle for over 2 years. The Walking Dead's original showrunner, Frank Darabont, was born in 1959. Actor Keith Hamilton Cobb, one of the original stars of Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda, was born in 1962. On this day in 1979, Battlestar Galactica had a most unlikely guest star, Fred Astaire.
Why don't you go ahead without me? I'll join you in a second.
What's wrong?
Clara, I seem to have misplaced my wallet. Probably dropped it on the Canaries. You better just don't worry about me. I'll be fine.
I do no such thing. I have plenty of markers and cubits. Even some Orion checks. Here, you take some.
Cyrus Blassie, as a gentleman, I cannot possibly accept currency from a lady, especially Osiris.
As Osiris, I insist.
Well, if you put it that way, of course I accept, on one condition, and that is that you return with me to my billet this very night, so I may repay you.
And in 1991, war nearly broke out on Star Trek The Next Generation in the episode The Wounded, the first episode to feature the Cardassians.
Mr. O'Brien, I understand that Captain Maxwell lost his family during a raid on an outpost.
It was on Setlik 3. A squad of Cardassian militia made a sneak raid on an outpost, wiped out close to 100 civilians.
Then it's revenge he's after?
That's not what I meant.
Maxwell is taking retribution for his own loss.
Captain Maxwell would never...
Gentlemen, please, let's not indulge in speculation.
In 2000, Stargate SG-1 had a visit from an impish alien named Ergo, played by Dom DeLuise.
You all can see me, right?
Apparently.
Oh, good, I'm so glad. Hello, hello, hello. Now you all say it.
Hello, Ergo.
Do you know that you're all much better looking on the outside than you are on the inside? On the inside, it's so complicated. Oh, please.
And on the same day in 2000, Sci-Fi Channel's surprise hit Farscape ended its first season.
Sarah? I'm still here, but I still can't get to you.
May not matter. Dargo's unconscious.
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history, thelogbook.com's over 500-page continuing guide to Doctor Who. Thorp 2 is now available in print or ebook form. Catch up on the 2012 and 2013 seasons, spin-off series such as Torchwood, The Sarah Jane Adventures and K-9, and the long-running audio adventures. You can pick up other original books, ebooks, and videos, and hundreds of other titles in thelogbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
The escape pod was written and produced by Earl Payne.